Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by Jack Threads. When's the last time you ordered clothes online and got to try them on before paying for them? Never, right? Well, that's exactly why JackThreads.com has you covered. With JackThreads.com, you can try out any of their stylish tees, jeans, and more at home for free, and you only pay for what you keep. So they send you all the clothes, you try them on. If you like them, you can keep them. If you don't, you can send them back and not have to pay for any of them. Instead of playing internet roulette and gambling on a new size or style, just use JackThreads.com. They hooked me up. I have a nice sweatshirt, a hat, some pants that I actually sent back and got a different pair, and that's why JackThreads is the best. Go to JackThreads.com and enter code PARDON when you submit your tryout for 20% off anything you keep. That's JackThreads.com, code PARDON to save 20% off on anything you keep. Never buy before you try ever again. Today's episode is also brought to you by Lisa. Lisa has the best mattresses online, like the Tom Shoes Warby Parker of the mattress industry. Available exclusively online, Lisa mattresses start at just $525. The mattresses ship compressed in a box directly to your door, so you don't have to worry about all that schlepping around with the moving of the big mattress. It's nice, compact, 100-night risk-free trial when you try out Lisa. It's free shipping anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, 100% American-made. And here's the deal we have for you. With the Lisa program, we donate one mattress to a shelter for every 10 we sell. That's a great one. And then I have the Lisa. If you go to lisa.com/barstool, you get $75 off your mattress. That's lisa.com/barstool for $75 off your mattress. Do good, help others, and get yourself a nice mattress. Let's go. Boy! Boy! Now in the street there is violence, and not a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing, and then I can't.
It's Part of My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, January 16th, the divisional round. Let's go to Atlanta, look into Schwami's crystal ball, and I'll show you the future. The Seahawks were traveling east towards Mecca, but the prophet Muhammad Sanu wouldn't let them touch the pigskin. Tevin Coleman was ludicrous, and the offensive line gave them holes the size of different area codes.
Area code.
Headline, the student is a teacher. Pete got beat by his old friend Dan Quinn. And the Georgia Dome, the house of the Andre Rising Sun, will be around for another week as long as Tina Left Eye Lopez doesn't burn it down. Rest in peace. Falcons 36, Seahawks 20.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Deion Lennox Lewis beat DeAndre Bernard Hopkins on his big KO return for a score as Cock Osweiler dicked it up in New England on Saturday night. Bill Taco Belichick sour creams Texans and says these six rings are mine. Nachos. Turn out the lights in Houston. There's no more J.J. Wattage left in your season. Patriots 34, Texans 16. Bumble!
We take you to the Big D, the two teams from the Ice Bowl in the frozen tundra. Tie ball game, 35 seconds left. Tick, 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 tick. Aaron Rodgers under pressure. He's scrambling. He goes to Jared. Don't get too excited, Olivia. He's looking for another ring for himself. And Mason Crosby steals Nash and Young, nails a game winner as time expires. Haven't seen sniping like that from 56 yards in Dallas since 1963.
That's too soon, Boom.
And they're taking the Marrakesh Express to the NFC Championship game. Packers 34, Cowboys 31. If this was Tony Romo's last game in a Cowboys uniform, let me be the first to say, job well done, Tony.
Never won a Super Bowl, Boom.
Standing on a corner, Jameis Winston, Tampa, Florida. Such a sad sight to see.
It's a walrus, my lord, looking like a fat gourd, burning up his timeouts for Casey. Come on, Andy, put down that candy. Go to Denny's and get yourself moons over my hammy.
Whew. That's the only way that we can keep it under 2 minutes is if there are only four games that we have to
recap. Yeah, and guess what? I hate to do this, boys. Three. We have three football games left.
Wow. Shots fired at the Pro Bowl.
We are down to it. It was a bad Saturday and a great Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers and the Cowboys.
It's a good Saturday.
The game. Hank?
It was
don't
bad
interrupt
Saturday.
Me, Hank. Don't interrupt me. The Packers-Cowboys game of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs-Steelers at least had a little drama. We had Andy Reid with his, I don't know what the hell's going on, frozen face.
Oh, it was the best. It was as we foretold, reading the ancient scrolls, him looking at his big-ass play card and at the clock, and totally frozen. I was hoping for overtime just to see how Andy could... If there's a coach that can figure out how to screw up timeouts in overtime,
mm-hmm.
it's Andy Reid.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that. The NFL dodged a bullet for anyone out there who's uncomfortable seeing Tyreek Hill play. That, you know, maybe you don't have to see him in the AFC Championship game. Instead, you've got Ben Roethlisberger there, so it's going to be a nice,
good,
smooth transition.
Guy. Yep.
Fair or not, Tony Romo probably would have won that game in Dallas.
I think you're right. I think mm-hmm. you're right. Put him in early.
Here's the thing.
Dak took a little too long to get going.
No. Dak is better than Tony, but he's exactly better enough that the Cowboys would have scored later on in the game to tie it up. So Dak scored too soon.
Yep.
He was too efficient. Romo would have tied it, sent it to overtime.
So that was the best game of the weekend, and I still don't understand why the Cowboys, with one timeout in their pocket, clocked the ball on first down
mm-hmm.
and basically screwed themselves out of getting an additional first down, leaving Aaron Rodgers 30 seconds left.
That's what they teach you at Princeton.
And
they teach you how to outsmart yourself in the Ivy League.
Yeah, and I don't know how many times I think I have Aaron Rodgers on the ropes. He gets off it, and he makes me look like a fucking asshole,
mm-hmm.
and it's the worst.
It's not that hard to do.
Yeah, not that hard to do, but he does it routinely.
It was a statement loss by the Cowboys.
Yes.
We can all agree on that.
They can build on that.
The glory hole mm-hmm. is wider. Ironically, it's wider for Dak than it was for Tony, genetically.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fact.
Yeah.
So the Cowboys have next season to look forward to again.
Yes.
It's kind of an off-season tradition there. Next year's the year.
Yes.
Green Bay against Atlanta is going to basically just be first one to 50.
Yeah, it's the Big 12. The Big 12 is going to be playing the NFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. I could not
it's
be
Mickey
more
Mouse,
excited.
It's Mickey Mouse football.
Yeah, no tackling.
No tackling.
Flag football. Mike Greenberg would love
Give
it.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
You want to see some real football, go up to New England.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers, Patriots,
Mike
cold
Tomlin,
weather.
Mike Tomlin might even trip a guy.
Football colors up there.
Ooh,
black,
actually,
yellow, red, blue, football.
Football. That actually reminds me. Mike Tomlin is actually like the ultimate coach to Grayson Allen. He's the original tripper.
He is, yeah.
Yeah.
Stuck his foot out there.
Interesting. He really stuck his foot out there for the team. I am so happy that we are done with Brock Osweiler.
Ooh. You remember the last time the Steelers and the Patriots played a big game? It was like maybe the opening game a couple years ago. That's when the Steelers were accusing the Patriots of monkeying with the headsets.
Uh-huh.
Keep your eyes peeled. Belichick's going to be up to his old tricks.
Yeah.
And a classy franchise like the Steelers won't tolerate that.
Nope.
If they try any monkey business, guess what? Joey Porter's on the sideline.
Yeah,
the leather
he's ready to go.
After spending his zero-game suspension thinking about what he did.
I'm done with Brock Osweiler. I'm done with him forever. He's ruined football games for me, multiple football games for me this year. Stop. It's like, stop. What does that mean, girls, Hank? Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Yep.
Stop trying to make Brock Osweiler happen.
Yeah, Bill O'Brien's a mean girl.
Yeah, stop.
By the way, Lindsay Lohan gave up drinking. She's a Muslim now.
Yeah.
So
she is a Muslim.
If you're a Muslim, I would say thanks, but no thanks.
We were saying this because we saw that Lindsay Lohan converted. Did she convert?
Well, yeah, she wasn't born a Muslim.
No, I know, so, but did she actually convert? I'm asking, like, Lindsay Lohan, don't you think she could just put on one of the headdresses and be like, I'm a Muslim?
That's how it works with any religion. You just tell people.
Okay, I'm that.
Now I'm Jewish, think Lindsay, now I'm Christian.
I don't think Lindsay read the fine print on the documents there.
No.
She definitely did. She's going to go reach for, like, a Michelob Ultra.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, Lindsay, we don't do that.
And she's going to be like, what do you mean?
You're going to be fucking shitting me.
What do you mean we don't fucking drink? That's our Lindsay Lohan impression. Yeah. Anything else from divisional round before we get to the Monday stuff?
No, I think we. You know, if you look at who predicted these games more accurately, I went 3-1.
I think I also went 3-1.
Where'd you go, Hank?
You know, okay, what? It doesn't really matter because when we did it for the season long one, and there was a large sample size, you came in last.
I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about the past.
And you didn't take the bet.
Seattle.
Yeah, anyone can win a couple games.
I do have two things I want to talk about. Number one, kickers were too good this week. Mm-hmm. So we're due for a correction next week.
There's something wrong. There's something up with that Dallas stadium.
Yeah,
you can hit balls from forever.
It's target practice.
Yeah, exactly. Mason Crosby was a stud.
I was saying, why doesn't Jerry Jones, like, turn all the lights off, or like fake a disaster, get the game paused, and then open up the roof before Crosby has to kick that ball?
I don't think their roof can open anymore.
Yeah, it does. Oh, really? It definitely opens. Yeah, you don't spend $80 billion on a stadium that doesn't have a convertible roof.
I don't know. Jerry could.
Also, just want to give a shout out to Aaron Rodgers for inventing the phrase run the table.
Yep.
So good job.
Another
year.
You
willed it.
For a couple years ago, he invented relax. Yep. Never heard that word.
Nope. Run the table as Aaron Rodgers. Run the table, quote, dash Aaron Rodgers, 2016.
Right. And relax, run the table. What will he think of next? He actually was nice enough to spell out relax for guys like Hank.
Yeah. R-E-L-A-C-K-S.
Yeah, relax. Let's do our regular Monday business. We first up have our Tiger Woods Who's Back of the Week. First of all, just a who's back for the team. Dez caught it jokes.
Oh, they were lit.
They were back.
What do you have, two touchdowns?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they were everywhere.
He caught it, and he caught it again.
This time he caught it. Totally makes up for the first time.
Yes. Hank, you want to start with your who's back?
Sure. My who's back of the week is the Georgia Dome. It would have gotten knocked down if Dallas had won, but they lost, so one more game there.
You know what's funny is Arthur Blank, he reminds me of like a bad guy in an 80s movie that threatens to destroy a rec center when the team like loses too much.
He's cast out of 101 Dalmatians. He's got that long cigarette.
Uh-huh.
He's just going to steal a bunch of puppies.
A little free tip. If you're just an evil-looking person, there are a lot of you out there, don't wear a trench coat all the time.
Yeah, don't wear a trench coat. Don't lurk around the sidelines either.
Mm-hmm.
He just is always lurking.
Mm-hmm. He's always in the shadows.
Yeah, he's that owner that lurks. That's Jerry Jones' move. Mm-hmm. And he stole it, and he made it a billion times more creepy.
Yeah, especially with a pencil-thin mustache. Mm-hmm. Like, me and you are mustache guys now.
Yeah, true.
That guy's got a shitty mustache.
The Georgia Dome, I don't know if you saw during the telecast, they were like, this could be the end of the Georgia Dome. Let's go through some highlights. And it basically was like six WrestleManias.
WrestleMania in the Olympics.
Yeah. I was like, hey, remember that time WrestleMania? And then also remember that time Stone Cold Steve Austin was here? That was the greatest moment in this football facility.
My who's back of the week is dialing things up.
Oh.
So a lot of stuff's getting dialed up in the playoffs, dialing up some blitzes, dialing up some key third down plays.
Yeah.
I heard announcers say probably about a dozen times this weekend they're dialing stuff up. So I started to take, I was like, hey, I'm going to dial myself up some beers.
Yeah.
You can really use it for anything in life. My other who's back of the week, and this is just for me personally, is Manti Te'o jokes.
Yes.
I've been making a lot of them this week. Like Clay Matthews, he did a good job tackling Manti Te'o's girlfriend when he was trying to tackle Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, Manti Te'o's girlfriend threw a block in there.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
My who's back, this one's going to surprise you guys, Grayson Allen.
Ooh.
And not for the reasons you think. Grayson Allen's back in good standing because the king of morality, Rick Pitino, vouched for him.
Oh, good.
He vouched for him. Did you hear it? This is great. He said this. Ready? Ready for this quote?
Uh-huh.
First of all, he said that the tripping is a reflex. So he said, I think it's a reflex action when he does something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He'll lunge out or he'll trip somebody, but he's a good person. I know he's a good person. I checked it out.
Oh,
Rick Pitino went and checked it out. Maybe 7 seconds it took him to check it out.
Uh-huh.
He went and checked it out.
I was going to say, the premature ejaculation, that's just a reflex people who aren't my wife touch my penis.
What, Rick Pitino. He's checked everything out. He probably sent a stripper to Grayson Allen the night before their game against Duke. Grayson Allen's a good guy. He didn't tell on he didn't tell on Rick. So he's a good guy. That's our Who's Back of the Week. Tell us who's back by tweeting us at Pardon My Take. Let's do Football Guy of the Week. And we have a special guest to do our Football Guy of the Week with us, our good friend, Uncle Chaps from ZBT fame.
Zero Blog 30.
The podcast that everyone should be listening to. You can download it right now on iTunes. How is it going?
It's going great.
In life?
Even better.
Okay. So you're here in New York.
I am.
But you live in San Antonio.
I do.
But you're a diehard Jags fan. You're jagging off.
All the time.
Our first Football Guy of the Week is Tom Coughlin, because he's back. How do you feel about Coughlin going back down to Florida?
You know, I was really down and out about the Jaguars season. I think I talked about it before that I had high expectations of maybe even like 7 wins this year. Didn't quite get it.
Yep.
But as soon as I saw the presser with Tom Coughlin sitting behind the Jaguar head and there's a little tear, there was teal everywhere again.
Yep.
I felt so, it was, being a Jaguars fan was back.
Yes.
Like, I felt like that was the same type of moment as when the Jaguars retired Dan Marino, 62-7.
Yeah, true.
Wow. People forget that.
Yes.
I forgot that,
or when David Garrard wore that stupid fucking hat.
That was rude.
Other nice moment in Jaguars history.
Yeah, so we have, our big moments are like people wearing hats and like a couple playoff games here and there.
Jack Del Rio's leather coat, David Garrard's stupid fucking hat.
When Jack Del Rio made their punter slice his leg open with an axe because he put a stump in the locker room and said, keep chopping wood.
Yep,
that's a Football Guy move.
The beating Broncos and retiring Dan Marino. That's, I think,
The
pool. The naked guy in the pool.
And Maurice Jones-Drew, he threw a couple blocks.
True.
I had a sad Jaguar moment memory today because we still make fun of the Colts for hanging the runner-up sign.
Yes.
But that's like our moment in the sun where we that's the glory days.
Right.
This was our runner-up year.
Glory
like, that's our glory days.
Yeah.
All right, so Tom Coughlin is one of our Football Guys of the Week. I think he's just going to show up. He's first obviously going to change all the clocks.
Mm-hmm. Naturally.
And then I envision Tom Coughlin as kind of like a hall monitor. Like, hey, why are you? Well, you got a hall pass?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah,
you're supposed to be in a meeting.
You've been using the restroom a lot.
Yeah, he's going to approve everything. Like,
that's great.
Like when Marone brings him somebody to be a position coach, he's already been like, no, to a couple people.
That's good.
So it was reported that the Jags brought in Chip Kelly to interview as the offensive coordinator. No, as the head coach,
As the head coach, secret meeting.
Oil and water.
So they probably had Coughlin just give him the once-over. He was like, get the fuck out of my building, Chip.
Hey, what's wrong with your fucking face? Why are you talking out of the side of your mouth? Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, there's no way that Chip Kelly... It's not a good fit for Chip Kelly. He doesn't have... The Jaguars don't have enough talented players for Chip Kelly to trade away.
Right. That's rude.
So, bad culture fit.
Well, if they just wait a few months, the Jags, I'm sure, will get A-plus draft grade like they always do.
Yep.
So,
great draft. Look out for that. Yeah. It's going to be a great offseason.
Tom Coughlin is our first guy. Our second guy is a story you have, PFT, which I still don't really believe, but give it to
us. Okay, this comes from us. The Twitter account that put it out was Andrew Corsello. It's a link to a newspaper story that's not cited, but it looks like a newspaper story, so I'm going to choose to believe it. It's about meeting a guy named Scott from Cleveland on the 30th anniversary of The Drive.
Mm-hmm.
We all know The Drive. Scott had recently returned to his hometown for the first time in many years. It's Cleveland. During that period, a good friend of his from childhood had fallen on hard times. He'd lost his job, his wife left. For months, he confessed, he'd spent his waking hours eating bagels in his underwear on the living room sofa, waiting for MTV to work the Divinyls hit, I Touch Myself, into its rotation so he could masturbate to it. Scott asked the only question there was to ask, what happened to you? The Drive, his friend told him, dead-eyed and without a trace of irony. It was The Drive. So,
killed the guy.
Yeah. Well, not. I would dispute
Walking
that.
Walking dead, out on his feet.
It actually sounds like a pretty good life, if we're being honest.
Just sitting around jerking off to MTV music videos,
eating bagels. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, there's no pressure on you if that's your life.
True.
You
set the bar so low that if you just go out and like grab the paper, everyone's like, wow. Ticker tape parade. Wow, you did it.
Yep.
Good job. That guy's football guy.
Yeah, if you wipe properly, that's a banner day for you. Put that on your resume.
Chaps, here's a question for you. How many times do you jerk off while eating bagels?
Not many. I'd give it probably under 6.
Okay.
Yeah, it's clean living.
Yeah, not really a football guy. next, we have our good friend, Jim Tomsula. He is back in the news because he's been rumored on the radar. He's on Washington Redskins radar. So check it out.
That's got to be a pretty solid radar.
Yeah, that's a good
pick
radar.
Up Jim.
Right.
Like, we've tried to get Jim on the show, and every time his agent tells us, we don't know where Jim is.
Yes.
Like, they really, his agent doesn't know where he's at.
So this was the follow-up. From that report, someone asked, like, where did Jim Tomsula go? And the reporter said, he went deep, deep, deep underground in Florida during last year may not be interested in NFL anymore.
I know exactly where that is in Florida because I'm from there.
Yeah.
So he's somewhere outside of Gainesville in a town called Stark. That's okay. A nice little lake.
Stark, Florida.
But, but nobody knows. It's where the prison is, actually, in Florida. So I think he's probably hanging out because he looks like a correctional officer.
He'd be a great warden. Wow. Yeah.
Could you imagine if he went into the correctional officer? Like, he just went and... We just wrote a Hollywood movie.
Prisoners would love him. He'd build up a football team. Absolutely.
The longest yard three with Jim Tom Sula. Yeah.
Except the guards would beat the hell out of him because Tom Sula would be playing.
Coach O's the head coach. Comes and growls the ball up.
Yeah.
Wow. So Jim Tom Sula's back. That's a football guy, though. He was so hurt by the way things went in San Francisco, he almost had to quit football. You love something so much, you let it go.
Take it away. Yeah. Do you think that since he is in Florida and he's still getting paid a shitload of money by
the
49ers,
millions. He's probably the richest guy in Florida.
Since he lives in Florida, is there no state income tax?
Oh.
Ooh.
Smart, savvy move by Tom Sula,
Hank,
as always.
Our accountant?
Yeah, I think he's good.
Okay. All right. That's a write-off.
Thanks for clearing that up. Finally, we have the new – oh, no, sorry, two more. One was there was a tweet. This guy – I don't even remember what team he was on, but he was running a knife drill with his team where the players had to come up to him. He had a knife. It was a coach. He had a knife. He was trying to, like, basically stab him, and they had to use their hands to get away. It was some kind of technique drill, I don't know, with maybe the defensive line, but it was a live knife. And it was football, and it was beautiful.
I think it was before a game, so it was like their pump-up thing. Some people run through brick walls. Some people run through a banner that the cheerleaders carry. This one was just this old, tough, grizzled-looking football coach with probably like a 5-inch blade that was just taking swipes at the players. And and it wasn't like the same pattern of swipes every time.
No.
Like, the players were legit reacting and having to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a little bit of logic in that.
Yeah.
Like, the game's not going to get any scarier than after your coach attacks you with a knife.
Chaps, former Marine.
Right.
You've been in combat and football guy. Is this a drill that you think works? Do you think
I think
Coughlin?
It works great. I mean, there's no better way to look alive than having to stay alive so you don't get stabbed.
Yeah. Actually, maybe this is a spin zone for the Jaguars. Start using this drill so you can stab your players before they get injured in minicamp and go out for the year.
I like it.
That's good.
Yeah.
What if it was Dr. James Andrews and he had a scalpel?
Oh. So he's like helping them.
Yeah. So he's doing some quick surgery real quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to repair that ACL.
Just go right on that. Just clean something out of the knee.
Preemptive.
I like when guys get their knees just cleaned out a little bit.
A lot of debris floating around in your knee.
Just vacuum it out a little
bit. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Normal stuff.
Our final football guy is our new age football guy. We've never talked about new age football guys, but this is a new age football guy move. It's football guys that don't delete their tweets. Their old tweets from when they were in college and tweeted freely, and then they blow up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So this was Tevin Coleman from the Falcons. He had a bunch of tweets that resurfaced when he had a big, huge play in the divisional round against the Seahawks. A couple of them were, sex is better when her pussy don't stank.
Mm-hmm. Which is true.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Checks out.
Need to stop wearing them damn leggings every day with her nasty ass. I don't know that
no,
one.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Shittiest feeling when you fucking and a fart slips out.
Yes. Been there.
Mm-hmm. That is a shitty feeling.
That's a terrible feeling.
Man, that's relatable. A couple of these have words I probably can't say out loud.
I got one here. Hashtag shittiest feeling when you don't have a condom. Which I'm going to throw a fact check on that one.
Yeah.
Not
it's actually the best feeling.
Yeah, it's not
feeling.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
I think I know where he was going with that, but you got to proofread your tweets before you send it out.
And
it
then
could
the,
get embarrassing.
The last one, lines that lead to sex. Hashtag lines that lead to sex. I bet you this was trending.
Mm-hmm.
My dick big. So
try it out.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, all you award-winning listeners out there,
just
show up to the bar on Friday, Saturday. My dick big.
Here's a little experiment. Tweet your crush.
Yeah.
My dick.
Oh, yeah. So Chaps does these all the time, little Twitter experiments. Do that. Just start tweeting people my dick big. See what happens.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
I used to do whenever somebody was talking trash, let me smell your dick, and they didn't know how to recover.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. I'm kind of stunned right now myself.
See? You don't know if it's an insult or a compliment or what.
So everyone vote on your football guy of the week at Pardon My Take, and everyone go check him out on his two podcasts. I want to tell a little quick thing about both your podcasts here.
All right, sure. So Zero Block 30 is a podcast about military issues where we talk about everything from shitting in a porta potty in 130 degrees in Fallujah to the confirmation hearings that just happened. And recently we just started a thing where we're talking about military movies. So this week we talked about Saving Private Ryan. Next week we're talking about Major Payne. And then on Podfathers, my other one, we talk you from the beginning of having a baby all the way to now, like where my kid's 11. So we talk about parenting issues and things that come up, like how much is daycare? What do you do when they get poop in their hair? Stuff like that.
All right. Awesome. So everyone go check them out. Download them both on iTunes right now. For the same part, Ryan, did you guys talked about how Tom Hanks was actually a teacher and then he died at the end? Spoiler?
Yes.
Okay, awesome.
Good.
Cool. Thanks, Chaps, for coming on. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you, too.
Hey, love you, too.
Don't bleep that out, Hank.
Never.
Hank's been bleeping out a lot of my loves you.
I would never.
We are coming up on the conference championship games of the football season. Your team might be facing a must-win game, or maybe it's already locked for the Super Bowl. Who knows? If you're like Hank and you're rooting for the Patriots, basically a cheat code. Either way, SeatGeek is the easiest way to find tickets for the last few games of the season. There's nothing like being in the stadium for the biggest games of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats you want for a great value. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to buy tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I instantly find seats for this weekend or for any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find you the lowest available price, and SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket is given a grade based on value. You immediately see any underpriced seats, and you're able to find the best deals that fit your budget. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first purchase on SeatGeek. To get your $20 rebate, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter promo code TAKE, T-A-K-E, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code TAKE today. I want to talk to you about something very cool that H&R Block is doing this year. You can walk into pretty much any of their 10,000 offices and get an unbelievable deal. The first thing you need to know about this tax season is there's some bad news for taxpayers. The government is delaying some tax refunds this year, but H&R Block has good news. Instead of waiting weeks to get your refund, you could get an advance on that refund after you file at H&R Block. That's right, you get a refund advance loan up to $1,250. Amazing. Here's the best part. No interest on the loan, zero interest after you file in a Block office. You heard me right, a no interest advance on your refund up to $1,250. As John Hamm says, don't just get your taxes done. H&R Block, get your taxes won.
Optional tax refund related loan from MetaBank, not your tax refund. $500, $750, or $1,250 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on estimated refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other optional products or product features may apply. Limited time at participating locations. See hrblock.com/loan for details.
We now welcome on a very good friend and recurring guest, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Going to go through all the games that we had in the divisional round and also some other stuff that's going on in the NFL. Let's start at the top. We're hopping on right after the Packers and the Cowboys game. Instant classic. And I know it hurts to do this, but the Cowboys first order of business now that it's the offseason, where is Tony Romo going to go?
Well, look, I expect that Tony Romo is going to try to get himself released under the notion that, look, this isn't something I did. I wasn't Brett Favre waffling year in and year out on whether or not I want to retire, forcing you to draft Aaron Rodgers, and then getting to the point where you eventually wanted me out of here. You guys decided to move on. I want to stay. I want to compete for the starting job. You won't let me. Why do you insist on trading me to another team? Now, how the Cowboys respond to that is going to be the big question, because there's no acrimony there like there was between the Packers and Favre. But Jerry Jones has an asset under contract. His salary is like $14 million for next year, very tradable, minimal cap hit in comparison to what it would take to keep him. I mean, they're still going to take a hit, but they'd have a lot more on the books if they keep him around. I think he's going to try to get released, and if he's not, the key is you got to trade him under some sort of a formula that ties the compensation to what he does next year, because if he blows out his back in the preseason, you can't justify giving up a first-round pick for this guy. I think it's got to be tied in 2018 to how many games he plays, how well he does, et cetera. You come up with a fair formula that protects everybody, then I think you can come up with a fair trade.
Okay. So watching that Packers-Cowboys game, the question on everybody's mind, maybe you can help us all out, what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, he's horrible, isn't he? But, you know, here's what's amazing, guys. What we've seen the last 8 games out of Aaron Rodgers makes me wonder, why in the hell haven't we seen that the last 6 years? Why are they continuously one and out in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Why do they continue to underachieve?
Steroids.
Aaron Rodgers is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the sport of football. How does he not already have more than one Super Bowl win? That it just makes it more glaring that they were in the spot that they were in where they had to win so many games in a row.
He's kind of a Dan Marino, he lucked into that one
Super Bowl. This is the spin zone I needed. It's the Packers are now in the NFC Championship game, but really it shows how underachieving they've been in the past.
Too little, too late for Aaron
Rodgers'
legacy.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say that, or the Packers get upset with you.
Right.
You get called out by Aaron Rodgers, and Mike McCarthy tells everybody what a great coach he is. I mean, they were horrible 8 weeks ago. They were horrible. And people pointed it out, and I fully expect if they'd have continued on the path they were on, McCarthy wouldn't have been back next year. And they turned it around. Good for them. But when you see how well they can play and how good Aaron Rodgers is, you can't help but look back at the last 6 years and say, well, why haven't we seen this more often?
One other question I had watching that game, why isn't Ty Montgomery wearing a running back's number? Can we get like a solid 32 or 33 on that guy's chest?
They got some weird rule that once you have a number, that's it for the year. And next year he'll have a running back's number if he plays running back.
I don't like it.
It feels illegal.
It feels like cheating.
It does. There's something about it that doesn't seem right. But
right,
next year he'll probably be like 28 or 27 or 38 or something like that.
Right. You remember like a couple years ago when Harbaugh got mad at Belichick for not telling him that they were going to be putting an ineligible receiver in an eligible spot? That's what this feels like. It's like the defense has to guard him as a wide receiver. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, but he's still an eligible receiver, whether he's playing running back.
It feels funny. Funny business.
He is and he isn't.
Yeah, so I'm a purist.
Read the rule book.
I'm a game
Read
purist.
The rule book.
I saw a quote from your Twitter and your website that I thought was very interesting. Pete Carroll said that he thinks the Seahawks are in the middle of their championship window. Is he high or just like 9/11 truther, Pete Carroll?
Well, it is legal in Washington, right?
Right.
So I don't know. And I mean, he's awfully spry.
Right.
But isn't spry a great word?
It is.
Spry just implies you're an old fart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You're an old fart who is able to function.
Yeah,
just
right.
Spry.
So you choose go.
I hope to be spry.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm already spry.
Right.
Look, they have a great quarterback in Russell Wilson. Their offensive line sucks every year. It's amazing what they've accomplished with a bad offensive line. Thomas Rawls, if he stays healthy, is capable of being a very good running back. C.J. Procise, if he stays healthy, is a great complement to that. Their defense is still pretty good. I think they are in the middle of whatever window it is. I don't know if it's a championship window. I don't know they're going to be as dominant as they were in 2013. You know, the key for them is playing postseason games at home. You got to get the 1 seed or the 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going, look at if they had just finagled the 2 seed, they most likely would have won yesterday over the Falcons, and they'd be hosting the NFC Championship game. And they blew it down the stretch, or they would have had the 2 seed. And I think that's the key: winning enough regular season games that people have to go to Seattle in the postseason. That's how they're going to get back to the Super Bowl if they ever do.
But people forget, Earl Thomas pointed out, that NFC West is very, very tough to win against the Rams and the 49ers and the Cardinals, who won like 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a murderer's row, though. I mean, it gets a lot easier, though, now that Jeff Fisher's gone.
Right.
So switching over to the AFC real quick, J.J. Watt kind of threw his team under the bus by not being on the sidelines and taking all the media attention away from everybody's talk. Everyone knows that. Why didn't he travel with the team, and are the Texans, is their defense better without J.J. Watt?
You know, I didn't realize he didn't travel with the team, but I guess we would have seen him on TV 50 times last night. Somebody said, was it Vince Wilfork, said that if Jadeveon Clowney is healthy and J.J. Watt's healthy, Clowney's actually better.
Ooh.
Think about how good. If they could
There's
get
only
all
one quarterback to sack, though.
Players, mm-hmm. If they get all those guys healthy at the same time, how good would that defense be?
It'd be great.
Still not good enough to overcome Brock Osweiler, but pretty damn good.
Okay, so that I wanted to get to that. You're a former lawyer. Can we sue Brock Osweiler for making us watch him play football? I'm being dead
cruel
serious.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
I
think that falls under the Eighth Amendment.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm serious. What can we do? Like, can we class action lawsuit or something?
Oh, I'm sure there's something out there. I'm sure there's a lawyer that would come up with some sort of a theory that you could use against. Maybe he's just too damn tall. That's the problem. You know,
mm-hmm.
Parcells hates tall quarterbacks. Maybe he's onto something. The tall quarterbacks, there's something about them that keeps them from being good.
What do the Texans do with Brock Osweiler? They cannot play him next year, right? But they have guaranteed money to him.
Yeah, he's got the second installment of that $37 million. I think it's $16 million fully guaranteed next year. They could cut him and hope that somebody else picks him up and – pays some of that money to get an offset. But I think they're going to keep him. And as of a few weeks ago, the plan was to go with Tom Savage and have Osweiler as the backup, because Savage is on a rookie contract that pays like $600,000 or something like that in comparison. But I think Osweiler now has a chance to win the job in the offseason. And I've never seen a guy that wants to be a franchise quarterback as badly as Brock Osweiler, but when it's time to perform, just can't get it done. How many times this year have we seen him in opportunities to be that guy and to show that he can be the next Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, whatever, and he just doesn't deliver? Sooner or later, you got to deliver in those games, or no one's ever going to take you seriously as a potential franchise quarterback.
You know, one guy that would pick up Brock Osweiler is John Gruden. People forget that he loves to collect quarterbacks. He's a quarterback collector. How close was he with signing with the Chiefs? With the Colts.
Yep.
Sorry.
You know, I have a feeling he thought about it seriously. Now, obviously, he denies it, but what I've been told is Peyton Manning and John Gruden have a very, very good relationship. They're very close, which just seems odd to me. They seem like two guys who would not get along, in part because Peyton Manning's like twice as tall as him. But they're, you know, they're both type A personalities, and they both want to be the biggest guy in the room. But it was a package deal of Peyton Manning and John Gruden. Gruden didn't want to do it, and now the question is, are they going to get Peyton Manning, and who else would he want as the coach, and how much money would it take, and would he have to get a piece of ownership? I think that ultimately would get it done if Irsay would give up a chunk of the team. It's not like it's got to be a huge chunk, but partial ownership I think would get Peyton's attention. But I think Peyton's still in play. Gruden was in play. But, you know, there's a theory out there that Gruden likes the perception that he would come back and be a great coach, but he knows deep down that he probably wouldn't be. He was only two games over 500 in Tampa. So you can just ride it out for the rest of your career in the broadcast booth with this perception that if you would have come back, you'd have been great. And you know in your heart that if you had come back, you probably wouldn't have been great. So it's the ultimate have your cake and eat it for John Gruden. And I don't think, if he's not going to come back now and work with Peyton, I don't think he's ever coming back.
Is Peyton getting in with John Gruden so he can take his job, though? Maybe he pushes him to the Colts job, and then boom, you see Peyton in the booth. We know
he
tried to
level.
Cuck Collinsworth on live television not too long ago.
So you get Gruden to take the coaching job. He
yep.
signs the paper. You walk away based on a technicality,
yep.
and you take over the Monday Night Football gig. Mm-hmm. Now,
you
like
walk
that.
Away
because
like Irsay was under the influence at the time of the ownership transfer.
And maybe the Colts wouldn't cover Peyton's wife's pre-existing conditions for HGH.
Correct.
And then boom, he's out the door.
Mm-hmm. Connected a lot. We're making a lot of sense here, Mike.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. And I got to be careful what I say because I still would like to have a job tomorrow.
You work with Tony Dungy. Any chance at all that Tony comes out of retirement?
Oh, get the whole band back together.
He laughs every time it comes up. I think the Jaguars were interested in him this year, but he's done. He makes it clear over and over again. And the last time I asked him, he said, you know better than that. I'm not going back. I'm done with that world. And he's moved on. It's already been like 7 or 8 years that he stopped coaching.
Speaking of the Jaguars, they brought Tom Coughlin back in. What's his role going to be with the organization? Is he going to be there to like tell draft picks to pull their pants up?
You know, I hope he knows exactly what it is that he's doing, because I could see he'd have a very strong temptation to micromanage everyone, including the head coach.
You
and
think?
He needs to tell himself, I'm not the head coach. Doug Marrone is the head coach. I can't try to be the coach. I remember when Mike Holmgren was in a job like that in Cleveland, he said from time to time, it drives him crazy on game days because he wants to coach. And I don't know that Coughlin will be able to help himself. I could see him lurking on the sidelines,
yep.
you know, with you know that pained look on his face, like, you know, he's a guy that's been constipated for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that going on behind Doug Marrone at some point. They're going to have to be very clear with him on what his job is and what it isn't, because he's in charge again, and he's going to want to be in charge
yeah.
of everything. It's just the way the guy is. There's nothing wrong with that. He's gotten results. But he's never been in a role like this, and I think it's going to be a tough transition.
He's going to Pat Riley him. He's going to wait till they're good again and then go in, kick Stan Van Gundy to the curb.
I would love to see Coughlin's face when Blake Bortles throws an interception off some guy's shoe.
My guess is it's going to be red.
Yeah.
It's permanently red from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That was the Lambeau Field byproduct. His face is forever red.
Do you have a Hall of Fame vote?
No. God, no.
Okay. If you did, two guys – who probably played their last game on Saturday, Devin Hester, is he a Hall of Famer?
I think he is. It's hard because you're comparing guys in these niche positions to guys who are playing all the time and are out on the field all the time. And that's the problem with the Hall of Fame. You got every shape and size, every position, it's all crammed into the same funnel, and then you got to figure out who's worthy and who isn't. Well, if any kicker or punter is worthy of getting in, Devin Hester is worthy of getting in, and I think he eventually will. Now, that doesn't mean he gets in on the first try, but I think eventually he's going to get in. I think Adam Vinatieri is going to get in, and you've got to find a spot for a guy who was transcendent in what he did in the return game. There's never been another one like him, and there won't be another one like him, especially as they continue to take the kick return out of the game.
Second guy, Vince Wilfork.
That's a tougher one, you know, because he plays a position that doesn't generate a lot of statistics, but he was part of championship teams. That one, I could see that one being like a senior committee, a long time from now.
I don't see them making a jacket that would fit him.
Mm.
Well, that would be quite. That's a lot of
a poncho.
Be like Hands tan. Across America, just stretch forever.
Hall of Fame poncho.
Yeah. There's nothing gold about that jacket. It's tan. It's an ugly tan jacket.
Yeah. Wow.
Like if you saw anybody wearing kind that, disconnected from the Hall of Fame, your reaction would be, "What the hell is that thing? Who dresses you? Why do they think that that's a good looking jacket?"
It looks like the color of the jacket looks like you've spent a long weekend with Donald Trump, and he's just. Yeah. Gone to town on you with his pee.
You had too many pretzels at the stadium. A little mustard there. I think I asked you this question every single time we're on, but I'm just going to keep doing it until we get a final answer. Where's Jay Cutler playing next year?
Well, it's
is he not playing? Because I'm 50-50 on that. I'm a little woke on that.
He's got a very tradable contract, $12.5 million. I think the Bears will try to trade him. Depends on how this coaching deal shakes out. If Kyle Shanahan ends up the head coach somewhere, I could see him being potentially interested in Cutler. It was Shanahan's dad that drafted Jay Cutler back in 2006, and he knows that Shanahan offense. So that's a guy to watch. I don't know that Shanahan's getting the job in San Francisco. There's a thought it's either going to be him or Josh McDaniels. If Shanahan gets a head coaching job, though, I think you have to watch Kirk Cousins and Jay Cutler as potential quarterbacks for Shanahan right out of the gates.
So speaking of Cousins in D.C., the R words, they lost McVay. What are they going to do on the defensive side of the ball, though? Because we heard that they were considering our good friend Jim Tomsula, but they probably haven't been able to track him down. Mm-hmm. Where is Tomsula's last known whereabouts, and is it on a swamp boat in the middle of the Everglades?
No, last time I saw him, he was delivering a refrigerator at my house. It's a gym. It's, pull up your pants, first of all, and secondly, it's good to see you found employment. I don't think he's being considered for defensive coordinator. He never was that in San Francisco.
He passed go. And he collected 200 and went straight to head coach.
His meteoric rise.
It worked out really well for the 49ers.
Do people in the NFL circles see Sean McVay as kind of an overachiever?
It's kind of annoying, right? People in the NFL circles say, what's this guy done to be a head coach at the age of 30?
Mm.
And look, a lot of that comes from people who are resentful of anyone who's successful more quickly than they were. But the kid's 30. It's going to be a tough sell to get veteran players to listen to Sean McVay. It helps to have Wade Phillips. I think he and Wade Phillips will spend a lot of time together, and Wade will give him some advice on how to get through to the locker room. You got to be able to command that locker room. And when there are guys in the locker room older than you, that's always a challenge. And they didn't help matters with that goofy photo op where he's holding up a jersey with his name on it and the number 17. I mean, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm.
I saw that, and I thought, I have never seen anything this unusual. And could you imagine somebody saying to Bill Parcells, hey, we're going to do this photo op. We're holding up a jersey with your name on it. That jersey would have ended up somewhere where it would have gotten very, very messy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I have seen more ridiculous things. The Chargers have changed their logo 15 times in 24 hours, so.
Speaking of the Chargers.
But they at least got rid of they at least admitted how crappy the one that they threw together in 5 minutes was. And
they got torched by the internet. It was real smart. They didn't think like, hey, before we press go on this tweet, maybe this is the worst logo of all time.
I'm a little woke to that.
I still think it's good that they changed their mind. How many people in the NFL do we see who will double down and dig in to a situation like that and never admit that they're wrong? At least they admitted that it was a mistake. Somebody from the team asked me, you don't like our logo? I said, show me someone who does.
Well,
it wasn't long after that they decided to get rid of it.
Here's the thing. The more crappy logos teams come up with, the more alternate jerseys they can sell. So it's not really a bad thing to just throw a couple crappy logos out there.
Throw back to their first logo.
Then they throw back in like 5 years to the L.A., the Dodgers logo.
The really bad one, yeah.
Speaking of the Chargers, everyone wants to know, Danny Woodhead, where's he going this offseason? where's the buzz? Is he going to stick around? Is he going to get re-signed? Or is Belichick already pushing papers towards him?
Yeah, no, he's got a lot of injuries he has to overcome, and how can you not? If you're looking to sell tickets in Los Angeles and you want to create buzz, right? Mm-hmm. Didn't you have the tweet of the Hollywood head sign? Wasn't that you?
It's perfect, yeah.
They got to get it ready. That's it. Hey, look, they're in competition with the Rams now to sell tickets and generate interest. And if you've got Danny Woodhead,
pretty
you're
stiff
ahead
competition.
Of the game.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I wanted to know one thing that jumped out at me, and I guess it started in the NCAA championship game. Refs are getting like a little bit too swole these days. Is there any drug? I noticed Gene Steratore. He's been doing some curls. You can tell. Is there drug testing in place for officials?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know about whether or not it is at the college level, but the dude from the Clemson Alabama game. I mean, does it count if you have big arms when you also have like a 52-inch waist? I think that
yeah.
kind
Whoa.
Of. Whoa! He looked like a pro wrestler.
Oh, you a little intimidated there, Mike?
A little too much man?
No, yeah, you're a little scrawny boy.
Like, well, no, but just the idea if you're going to be that conscious about your arms, aren't you going to be at least a little bit conscious about your midsection? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he's built like a ship brick house, right? People don't mess with him.
The extra he had the J.J. Watt collection on too. The extra,
yeah, yep. extra
the
medium,
extra medium yeah. shirt.
That hey, guy, USA Soccer what, just sent him a small shirt. It's not his fault.
Hey, I'd listen to that guy if I was on a football field and he told me what to do.
True. I need you to tell me that Rex Ryan will get another chance as a head coach.
I don't think he will. You know what he should do?
I don't think you heard what I said. I need you to tell me Rex Ryan will get another chance as a head coach.
How about at the college level? Wouldn't he be a very good college coach? Yeah. I mean, could you see him recruit the hell out of guys? Now, they may not be all that happy with what happens when they show up on campus, but I could see him go into living rooms and sell guys on
sucking
coming to
some
his
toes.
Program.
Mm-hmm. Sucking the grandma's toes? Wow. Now we're thinking. Rex Ryan?
I don't know that he needs to do that.
Let me see Nana's toes. Yeah. Yeah.
But I really do think he could be a decent college coach if he wanted to do it. He could be like Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was fired twice. Went True. To USC, became a great coach, and then he had a good, you know, third act of his career. If Rex wants to do that. Ooh. I think he's going to end up in TV, though. I'm not sure he's going to be as good as they think he's going to be, but I think he's going to end up in TV.
Send him to Notre Dame. No, like, repressed sexual proclivities there.
Yeah, that could be a little – they could have an issue there with it.
What about Jeff Fisher? Is he going to get another shot?
He's done.
Come on.
No. You know what, though? You know what? It's easy to say that. That's the popular reaction. Guy's very connected at the league level. He's got good friends in the
league
office. He's
a made man.
He knows how to work the media. I think at some point he'll find a way where he at least gets an interview. And if he gets an interview with one of these guys who inherited his team or whatever, and didn't really, you know, a lot of these owners aren't real sharp, all due respect, no offense with a C. But if he gets a chance to sit down for an interview at some point down the road, he could bamboozle someone into hiring him.
All right, a couple more questions, and we'll let you get back to the games. How great of a move was it for Roger Goodell to move the Kansas City game into primetime when he saw the forecast of maybe low ratings for an early game?
Well, but you know what? Why did it take him so many years to figure out the Sunday night division around game? I mean, that they should play one on Sunday night.
It's
they're going to do it all the time now.
Yeah.
Like, they've just discovered plutonium by accident. What would it have taken for somebody to say, you know what, we could play a game at 1 Eastern and a game at 4:30 Eastern, or we could go 4:30 and 8 o'clock, and more people would watch the game. It's just ludicrous to me that it took this to get them to finally start saying, hey, maybe we'll do this all the time now. Of course they should do it all the time now.
Better be lucky than smart. That's the Roger Goodell way.
I think they have that on a plaque at the league office.
One last question here. The Summer League or the Spring League NFL that's going to be taking place at the Greenbrier in West Virginia in your backyard. Do you know anyone affiliated that could get us a tryout? Because I think me and Big Cat want to try out to be like a kicker and holder duo.
Team.
Or like a package deal.
I think we can work on that.
Yes.
I can make a few calls.
Okay. Let's get it done.
Get the rumor mill buzzing.
Yeah. We really just want to stay at your house.
That's fine. You guys are welcome anytime.
Just drink in the barn.
You've said that before. I don't know if you know what you're signing up for.
You're welcome. You're welcome anytime in the barn. The main house, no. The barn, yes.
I think we've had this discussion. We're barn animals. We're barn cats. You don't bring us in the main house unless there's like a thunderstorm.
Yeah, we'll bring a rat up to your doorstep as an offering.
Yeah. Like, hey, remember us? Oh, Mike, thank you so much as always. It's always awesome. Are we going to see you Super Bowl week?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay, we're going to see you. We're going to get together.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I want to talk to you guys quickly about the best new app for all you gamblers out there, or if you're just a regular sports fan that wants live updated scores, it's the Sports Action app. Go download it right now in the iTunes store. It is free, and it has everything. All the games.
It has line movement. It tells you where the money's going. It tells you how it's changed. It tells you what side the public is on. And the best part is you can track your games super easily. You set up an account and you just click what games you're betting on. You can keep it all nice and easy for yourself on a busy Saturday basketball slate. It's the Sports Action app. It is the best app. It's the only app you need. Go ahead and delete that ESPN app. Go ahead and delete that Score app. Put in the Sports Action app. Use it right now. Let's get to some segments. We have a bunch to get through. Our first one up, we have a PR 101 for two Twitter hackings over the weekend. The first one is Jahlil Okafor's father. He hasn't been so great in the NBA. He hasn't really panned out for the Sixers. And a Sixers blogger, nerd.
Trust the process, dude. Yeah. Why? It's a little too early to say that. True. He hasn't panned out yet.
True. A Sixers blogger, probably a guy who lives in his mom's basement, wrote, "Imagine taking a bus for 2 hours only to see Jahlil Okafor start." And his dad, Jahlil Okafor's dad, wrote, "Imagine me slapping the shit out of you."
That's pretty good.
He then deleted that and said he was hacked.
Uh-huh. By someone else who had an axe to grind with the Sixers blogger.
Right. Who just randomly was like, "I want to fight a blogger," well, because they made fun of my son.
I got to say, if we're going to be talking about just like teams out there that have bloggers that many people would want to fight, the Sixers are probably in the top five.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
It's like a Sixers blogger and probably a Pats blogger. No offense, Hank.
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty close, right?
Yeah.
We also have a PR 101 for Jimmer Fredette. He is back in the news. You remember the Jimmer, mm-hmm. Jimmer Mania.
Jimmer Range.
Yeah. He wrote on Sunday morning, "I'm sorry, fans, I have bad news." You ready for this? Mm-hmm. Next tweet, I will quit basketball because of my boyfriend, and yes, I'm gay. Kind of buried the lead there. Like,
okay.
My boyfriend, but oh yeah.
But I'm quitting
forgot
basketball.
Forgot to tell you, yeah. I'm gay.
Okay.
Goodbye, Jimmer. Hashtag goodbye, Jimmer. Follow up, my account is not hacked. I'm sorry. So that... And that clears it up right there.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is he saying like his boyfriend is like Doug Christie's wife used to be? Like his boyfriend doesn't trust him on the road?
Right, that kind of thing.
Okay.
And then he said, "I'll talk about that in the video soon." Didn't ever get the video. Turns out he was hacked even though he said he wasn't hacked. So
the hackers are getting smart.
Mm-hmm.
They've kind of learned to get in front of the news and say, "By the way, this is not a hack." Very tricky.
Yeah, exactly. That's what got me over. He wrote, "Sorry guys, my Twitter got hacked. I think we were able to get it fixed. I'm not quitting basketball. Ha ha. Ha ha fixes it."
Mm-hmm.
But a little spin zone, little PR 101 for Jimmer Fredette. One, now I remember that Jimmer's still alive.
Yeah.
So that's good. I actually went to his Twitter after this all happened. Turns out he's killing it in China. Like 40 points a game for the Shanghai Sharks.
Probably getting paid too.
So did he hack on purpose?
No state income tax in China either.
Yeah, he hacked on purpose. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Jimmer on an NBA team soon.
They get his name back in the news? Yeah.
Some,
no, this,
some
it's
GM.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, if I were him, and this goes for anybody that gets hacked, really. If you got hacked, the first thing that you do when you gain control of your account back, tweet out a link to that Russian news channel that took over C-SPAN. So yes. Everyone thinks that the Russians did it.
Yeah. Or tweet out the news site that Donald Trump used to say he did not have a urine, probably like LifeZit or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Reputable source. LifeZit.
UANN.
Yeah. Yeah, you can tell that it's reputable because he says, "Meanwhile, here's a credible source.
LifeZit."
Yeah.
So use LifeZit anytime you get hacked. That's a little PR 101 from the boys. Next up, we have Respect the Biz. This comes from Michael Bennett after the Seahawks lost in the divisional round. He went off on some reporters. He told them, "Get out of my face. Don't tell me I didn't do my job. Get the fuck out of my face. I just put my heart on the line." He called one of them a motherfucker.
Mm.
So kind of respect the biz, man.
Well,
you got a job to
do. In fairness, the reporter was being nosy and asking, "Why weren't you guys able to get enough pressure?"
Yeah.
So the reporter really crossed the line on that one.
Right.
And this we were talking about earlier, this type of stuff from the media, this is why Trump got elected.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a new segment for us. We're going to tell you, whenever yes. something happens, this is why Trump got elected.
You ready to go? Well, this is why Trump got elected?
Yeah.
I've actually been thinking about it a lot because of all the commercials coming up right now and the whole Verizon Sprint guy. Because mm-hmm. he really pisses me off all the time. No loyalty anymore.
Mm-mm.
That's why Trump got elected.
Yeah. It's all of Seattle seems to hate journalists. Have you noticed that? The Seahawks yeah. do?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? If Bennett had kept his mouth shut like Marshawn Lynch, then the press wouldn't have had all these bad things to say about him.
Yeah.
So remember that.
Probably people why Trump got elected.
People were fine when Marshawn Lynch didn't do it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Humble brag. I was about 2 feet away from Bennett after the Super Bowl. Remember when the Patriots won, Hank?
Yeah.
Remember that game?
Yeah.
I thought you might. And somebody asked him like about, I don't know, just a normal play in the game. And he just looks at the reporter. He goes, "You look like you've never done anything athletic in your life. You look like a slob." And was just like making eye contact with him and got really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
If he had said that to me, I would have knocked his block off.
Yeah, you would have. Good thing.
Would have showed him what the biz is all about.
Good thing he didn't look your way.
Mm.
Wow.
I'm kind of intimidating. Well, if I'd had this mustache,
it
would have been game
alpha,
over.
Alpha shit.
Yep.
We just did This Is Why Trump Got Elected. We debuted it, but underneath the guise of respect.
That's how we spin a new franchise off.
Yeah. We have a hurt or injured for Big Ben, which, I mean, we've gone over this before. Big Ben is a big, dumb fucking oaf who doesn't know what part of his body's hurt at any given time, but he knows something's hurt.
Yes. In full disclosure, we're recording this in the middle of the Steelers-Chiefs game, so there's probably another fake injury.
He probably broke his nose just now.
That Ben has.
Yeah.
So he had two fake injuries last week. He said on the play where he hurt his ankle, remember when he walked off into the locker room like in a walking boot?
Yep.
He said, "Actually, I thought it was my shoulder that was injured in that play. I hurt my shoulder. I didn't think it was my ankle." Ben is, he thinks that any emotion is pain.
Yes.
He doesn't know what emotions are, but he knows that when he feels something, he's like, "That is pain, and I feel it in my deep soul."
Yeah. Oh.
Big Ben.
Give me the training staff.
When he learns something new, he's like, "Ow, my head, it's pain." Yeah. It's headache.
Ben, no, it's lower. It's your knee that you just tore.
"I hurt my brain learning, but I will play through it. You can bet I'll be out there suiting it up, strapping it on."
Oh, my God. We're going to someday go through Ben's body. He needs to have a huge CAT scan after he retires and be like, "Actually, he's been playing with every single bone broken for the last 15 years."
I bet you Big Ben, he's going to just be in his walking boot for the rest of the life.
Yeah. He'll go in a wheelchair right away. And he'll just be like, "Ben, you can walk." No, can't walk.
Broke my back.
Yeah, too much
broke
pain.
Broke my back in week 7, 2011.
Yeah, "Hey, Ben, you haven't played for 10 years. You know you can walk." Nope. Broke my back. Yeah.
Benny Scoots.
Hard-hitting Ravens game. Yeah. Broke my back.
That would be awesome to just have Roethlisberger driving around everywhere in a scooter for the rest of eternity.
Please, God.
Yeah.
We have groomers confirmed. Confirmed groomers. Jim Irsay confirmed that he reached out to John Gruden. John Gruden reportedly said, "No thanks." We also get from the groomers a little offshoot, which is nice. Chuck Pagano, it has been reported his feelings have been hurt. That's actually a real thing I read.
Come on, Chuck. Really?
Jim Irsay is a dick. Like, he's just going out courting John Gruden right in Chuck Pagano's face. And it was so funny because I saw it, people in Indianapolis John Gruden's at the Steak and Shake, the whatever it is.
Elmo's. They all gotta stay in Elmo's.
Yeah, yeah, right.
If that shrimp cocktail won't woo you to Indianapolis, nothing will.
John Gruden's here. John Gruden's there. John Gruden's everywhere. And Chuck Pagano's just, on his Twitter reading all this stuff.
Yeah, Irsay's not really one for discretion. Mm-mm. Like, he's not going to be sneaky about bringing a coach around because he's going to run up a bar tab wherever he's at. Here's what happened, okay? He was at St. Elmo's, and Irsay's like, "I got this round on the house on me."
Yeah.
And Pagano's like over at the bar, and the bartender hands him a drink. It's like courtesy of that big, red, bloviating, sweaty man over there in court. And it's Irsay with his arm around Gruden.
Yeah, and it's just like, shit. Or Irsay, I could see a world where Irsay just walks him right into the Colts facility. He's like, "Hey, Chuck, I want you to meet my friend John."
Yeah, hey, Chuck.
"He works for ESPN. I don't know if you know him.
Chuck, I want you to sit down with this guy.
Yeah.
See if you really know. See if he really knows what he's talking about with football. I'm thinking about bringing him on in the organization some capacity."
Yeah, I just like to have him around. I'm not going to hire him or anything.
Hey, Cuck Pagano.
There it is. We also have a Stay Classy for the Atlanta Falcons. They had Future on the sideline, who is obviously the father of Russell Wilson's stepson. Did I do that right?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe a little mind games.
Ciara's ex. Is it Sierra or Ciara?
Ciara.
Ciara.
Ciara's ex.
Yeah. So. It
worked.
It worked.
Sure
Russ
did.
Russ Wilson did not play well.
No. So Stay Classy, City of Atlanta. You're bringing exes onto the sidelines. What are they going to do when Aaron Rodgers gets down there?
Wow.
You know, think about it. They're going to bring his dad down, have his dad stand behind him on the sideline.
Jordan.
Ex-father.
Yeah.
Deep relationships are a lot of open wounds.
It would actually be great if they played, if they played like Jordan Rodgers' Bachelor, if they played clips from his highlight clips from his Bachelor appearance. That would be the greatest moment in Georgia Dome history. Move down WrestleMania 28.
The time we trolled Aaron Rodgers. Ooh, okay, when he starts doing the discount double check, have Flo from Progressive on the sideline.
Ah,
She's so fucking annoying.
Oh, she's
it would
the
ruin
worst.
The whole gameplay.
She's the worst.
Yeah.
She's just a lifer. The commercial lifers, it's like the Verizon Sprint guys.
But the fucking Sonic guys.
Oh, I like the Sonic guys. I do.
You would. You
I
would.
Do.
I you, just, you just know that they're talking about tater tots with cheese on them. You're like, I like the cut of this guy's
They're like
gym.
Just wearing, yeah. They're just hanging out.
They're you.
Okay? They're eating.
Yeah, they're a big cat living his best life.
Right.
Just in a car eating
Love
fast
the Sonic
food.
Guys. I should actually sue
Great
them.
Guys.
They stole my life story.
You could be a Sonic guy. That's your ceiling.
We have hashtag jumpsuit problems. Very relatable for everyone out there. We have hashtag jumpsuit problems. We've been doing jumpsuit January. We've been wearing jumpsuits every single day for the month of January. Mm-hmm. It has been glorious. But with that, we want to complain about having a job where we can wear jumpsuits every day.
Yep.
Very relatable.
It's not all glamour wearing a jumpsuit.
No,
you,
it's
you
not.
Look at us and you think those guys really have it all together. They got it going on. Not necessarily the case. Like sometimes if you're wearing a jumpsuit and it's really cold outside, you have to wear a coat over your jumpsuit.
Yeah, it sucks.
But then you put like your phone or your keys in your jumpsuit pocket on your jumpsuit jacket, and then the coat is in the way and you have to like reach under the coat.
Yep.
And then you're like FML.
So,
fuck my life. Wow.
Yeah.
It sucks.
My biggest problem is the pockets.
Yeah.
When you sit down
Things fall
and
out.
They fall right out.
Yeah.
You need the jumpsuits with the zippers.
Uh-huh.
All jumpsuit manufacturers out there, put on zippers on your jumpsuit
pants. I couldn't find my keys for about 10 minutes the other day, so I was just searching everywhere. Turns out they were just where I left them.
But
for those 10 minutes,
in a jumpsuit,
I was like, God damn it, this
Busy
damn
hand.
Jumpsuit, it's making me lose my keys.
Yeah, and would it kill you to put a zipper on like the fly for a jumpsuit?
Yeah.
Like I have to pull the crotch of my jumpsuit all the way down whenever I want to pee.
Yeah.
Like a child.
Yeah, so that was hashtag jumpsuit problems. Tweet us your jumpsuit problems because like us, I'm sure you're wearing a jumpsuit every single day at work.
Mm-hmm.
Your job lets you just be a slob for a living. Just like us. And it sucks, man. It's hard.
I know about you guys, but I like, after a hard day of work, changing out of my jumpsuit into another jumpsuit.
Oh, yes.
That's
what, you know what I do sometimes? I'll come home, I'll take off the top of my jumpsuit and put on another top of a different jumpsuit.
It's like Mr. Rogers changing out of a sweater into his new sweater.
Yeah, new sweater, yeah. So that's kind of a problem, you know?
Great segment.
Yeah, very relatable. Very relatable.
Oh, hey, can we jump back, by the way, to Stay Classy to the Falcons?
Yeah.
I just want to say, I'm not sure if the Falcons are good or not. Like, I'm going to have to see the remaining schedule for them. I don't know. They could be good. Maybe they're not.
They're AFC South had a down year.
They're one of those teams where you're just not sure.
You're
kind of wonky.
Aren't sure. Yeah, exactly. Little wonky. They're like Kramer.
It's like a. I look at. They're like a Stringer Bell.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You just never know what to get.
You never
from
know.
Them.
Sometimes
never
they got it. Sometimes they got together. Sometimes they just kind of fly off the handle.
Yeah, Hank. What do they say?
Omar coming, yo.
Oh, you're gonna give me a. You never know.
You never know. Ever.
Next, we have Protect the Shield, Roger Goodell. He showed up. He finally showed up to a game, Kansas City, Pittsburgh. After delaying it, he showed up. Delaying it so it's in prime time now.
That was lucky how they kind of lucked into that one.
Oh, yeah. Ice storm.
So they're getting just a lot of, like, probably a few million more people watching,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So, but he showed up to protect the Shield.
Yeah, so he's indefinitely, kudos to him. He's indefinitely suspended himself from attending Foxborough games. That's his way of saying, hey, that's my bad. Maybe I stepped over the line. So I'm just going to stay away from all you angry fans.
It's the last game in the Georgia Dome. He's got to go. Right?
Yeah.
You can't go to Foxborough.
You can't go to the AFC Championship
come on.
Game. No.
I mean, he's got
an
obligation to be at. Yeah. He's going to be in the Georgia Dome for sure. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's protecting the Shield as they take down a stadium for the new stadium, even though the old stadium was only like 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Protect the Shield. We have, finally, we would be remiss not to mention today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So we're going to do, as a white guy, what Martin Luther King Jr. Day means to us.
I think if you look back.
Be careful now.
At the last 40 years, like we've come along.
Yep, be careful.
Don't go
jumping in the trash.
Well, what are you?
Well, I was going to say, I don't want to say. No, I'm not. I was going to say
I want to phrase this the right way. He was a great, leader.
As you see the country and like everything divided now, it's like, nah, I don't want.
What you know? What he?
I can't.
So if he were alive,
as a white guy, Martin Luther King Jr. means to me that.
Watch out.
Okay. Yeah.
What do you got, Hank?
Yeah, Hank. What do you
save us?
I mean, if like, there's so much to say about what it means.
Right.
As me.
Right.
You know, for white people.
I can't even put it into.
For how much
he
white
almost
people
did
have
more for.
I don't want to say the struggle. We didn't struggle. Okay, so that was Martin Luther King Day as a white guy. Mm-hmm. I feel like that went well.
I think we really expressed ourselves.
I'm going to bet some NBA games today. You guys going to get that beat work?
Yeah.
It's nice. It's just a bonus. Like,
it is
hey,
great. It is a great day.
There's some day basketball.
Fun fact.
There's good games tomorrow.
That's mm-hmm. how I got myself into sports betting. It was Martin Luther King Day, and the NBA was on all day.
Yes.
And my friend was like, hey, you got to check out this new website. And this was back in like 2003, 2004.
Uh-huh.
I was like, holy shit, you can gamble on sports online? This is the best.
Yeah.
So really, really ruined my life.
Yeah, exactly. It's the best. They need to do this. They need to just do random day games that they don't tell us about. Like last week, the Nuggets and the Pacers were playing in London. Just out of nowhere.
And there was a game in Mexico City, too.
It's awesome. But then you're like, oh, shit, I have something to bet on at 3 o'clock.
You have to bet on a game if it's played in a different country. Those are the rules.
Or during daylight on a weekday.
Or on a holiday.
Right. So keep doing that, Adam Silver. Little tip for you. Not telling you how to run your league. Just sprinkle in a couple games like that that chef. You know,
Salt Bae.
Yeah, just sprinkle in a couple games for us folks mm-hmm. out there.
Just have one game that's on like Saturday or Sunday mornings at like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
For all the people getting home from the bars.
Oh,
it tips at 3.
Mm-hmm.
People lay a lot of money. They fall asleep while they're watching. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Their TV's still on.
Put a team in Hawaii. Do it. All right. That's our show. We will see you on Wednesday. We have a big week coming up. Make sure you tune in. Follow us at Pardon My Take on Instagram and Twitter. Subscribe. Leave a 5-star review. We'll roast on Friday. So write your roast. Leave the 5-star review and we will read it on air.
Love you.